You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mary Angela Artuso and Nick Mossa.
May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus be with you. And may the joy of Jesus be with you. May the joy of Jesus be with you. May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus be with you. May the joy of Jesus be with you. May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus be with you.
Good evening, dear friends. I'd like to start the show this evening, which we will continue our Lenten journey off with a special prayer. And if Mary Angela, if you could share with us the prayer.
Lord, you know how much I need you and depend on you. You know my weakness and my faults. I put all my confidence in your love and mercy in my daily actions. I hope to learn to trust more in your power, your promise, and your grace. Lord, I wish to start this season of Lent with a sincere desire to grow in love, preparing myself worthily to celebrate the mysteries of your passion, death, and resurrection. Amen.
Amen. So thank you very much, Mary Angela. So welcome, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. My name is Nick Mossa, and I will be your host for the next hour. And this evening, I'm joined with two wonderful people very close to me, and we'll just go around the table and have them introduce who they are.
Hi, I'm Mary Angela Artuso.
Hello, Mary Angela, my lovely wife.
Yes.
And dear friend, Rocco.
Thank you. Nice sitting in tonight as well. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So I'd like to thank all the people who are part, who make this show happen, all the donors, the technicians, Alex and his father, Mr. Diaz. I also like to a big shout out to all the people listening and all the ones listening on the internet or on their radios at home. And we like to say thank you for supporting us, because it's through keeping the faith and believing in Jesus that we can make this a better world. So tonight's topic will be Lent, our Lenten journey. Where are we? Can you guys believe it's, almost 4 weeks?
Yeah, we're more than halfway through Lent.
So this is kind of a tune-up, or a, as they like to say, a retreat. Because it was just yesterday, basically it was 4 weeks today, it was Ash Wednesday. So this evening will be filled with lots of prayers, it will be lots of quotes, and a lot of reflections that we're going to, as mentioned before, basically retreat and refresh on our Lenten journey. That is not just for 6 weeks, but I put it out there. I don't want to say challenge. I offer you this, is to continue your Lenten journey throughout the year, because this is what Jesus wants. He wants us to be close to him, not just for 6 months, but for 365 days. And I know it's not easy. There will be, as mentioned, some challenges, some obstacles, but there will also be, as we try to bring you every first month, every once a month on the show, there will also be a lot of joy. And you say, joy? How can you make joy Lent through joy? So, Mary Angela, if you could share with us a little bit on how we can make Lent joyful.
So, who would think that this penitential season as a time of joy? Easter Sunday? Yes, joy. But the 40 days of penance.
Yes, 40 days, maybe 50 for some, if you don't include Sundays.
That's right. We're often tempted, and this word is used on purpose, to approach Lent with an attitude of dread resignation, and a sort of sour piety. On the surface, this makes sense, as Lent is a sort of spiritual boot camp in which we break from our usual routine, distance ourselves from the world in certain ways, and seek to restore spiritual rigor. But if we do not approach Lent with joy rooted in our baptism, the season will not yield nearly as much fruit as it should. The Lord is not asking us to be gloomy. He's showing us that there is a path to joy in the heart, in the one who enters the true humility. What do we mean by true humility? It's facing our sinfulness and all of it head on. It's recognizing and naming all our interior corruption. This truth, the truth of who we are and who we are not, is the first truth that sets us free. That begins to release the joy of Jesus in our heart. So we can begin Lent and continue with Lent with moaning and complaining about how much we miss, what we've given up for the last 40 days.
Yeah, people like to complain, don't they?
Is it coffee? Is it chocolate? Is it wine? Or instead of complaining, maybe we can begin Lent with the fire of anticipation, so we can make it like we can anticipate each day, seeking the Lord, that and remembering that Easter has already come.
Thank you, Mary Angela. So as we mentioned, this will be like a retune or a refresher. So Rocco, at the beginning of Lent, we were asked, there was three main things for in our Lenten journey. What are they?
Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving were the three.
Yes. So can you just share a little bit about that?
Sure. How to begin Lent, we talked about prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. As we began the Lenten season, we're reminded of the need to make reparation for our sins and be reconciled with God. Any attempt to build a spiritual life that neglects the pillars of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving is building on sand. Prayer purifies our intentions and relates all we do to God. Fasting detaches us from our comforts and from ourselves. And almsgiving reflects our brotherhood with the poor of the family of Jesus and reminds us that our true wealth is not in things, but in the love of God. So we all need to do a reality check on our spiritual lives to make sure we are committed to prayer, to fasting, and to almsgiving.
Thank you, Rocco. So as Rocco said, the basic, right, the grassroots thing that all the priests and religious say on Ash Wednesday are prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. So prayer basically is the communication with God. It's our doorway to Jesus. Fasting is to, as Rocco mentioned, to purify our souls, to detach, to let go and let God, because there's a lot of barriers. And it's not just food fasting that we're asked to join in. It's also accumulation fasting, like not to buy things, like to refrain from buying things that we don't need. The joke goes, we're buying things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't like.
Yeah.
So that's a fast from spending extra money. We can fast from TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a few moments, we will share with you a few things that we can fast from and what we can feast on. So the third part, which we were asked to do, is the almsgiving. So we were told, the priest on Ash Wednesday says almsgiving. Now, almsgiving is not just about money. It's about sharing. It's about sharing what we have, our time, talents, and our gifts. And a lot of people, well, no, I shouldn't say a lot, but sometimes we as humans, we forget to give. But it's not that we forget to give. Sometimes we can only give so much. But even greater than giving money is our generosity. Okay?
Of time,
right? What is it that we have a lot of? Time. That's the most abundant thing that we have in our life is time. So it's very important not to waste it. So when we say generosity of your time is what examples of doing with time that we can do at Lent you guys think we can do?
Well, we can volunteer at a soup kitchen. We could do even just being present to someone who in need if they need to just talk to someone or just have, you know, be listened to.
Yeah, it's a generosity of your hearing.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a generosity of your words mm-hmm. because words can cut, but they can also build. So being generous with your time, like Mariangela mentioned, is to donate or be a volunteer or to even the most simplest thing is to be generous with your smile,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it doesn't cost anything. And they say it's easier to smile. You use less muscles than to frown. You use 26 muscles to frown on your face. When you smile, it's only 13. And plus, it keeps you a lot younger, right? So.
Yeah.
So as mentioned before, getting back to what can we fast from and what we can feast on. This was a wonderful page I found in doing the research for this show. And again, this is continuous, not just for this time of the year, but at the present. So right now, I'd like, Rocco, if you can share with us the first section on
sure.
what are some of the things that we can fast on, and in doing so, what can we feast on?
Okay, so fast from judging others, feast on Christ dwelling in them, fast from the emphasis on differences, feast on the unity of life, fast from apparent darkness, feast on the reality of light.
Now, sorry, just to interject, this past week, wasn't it the homily about Jesus loved the world so much he gave his only begotten son?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we get, everyone reads John 3:16.
Right.
But they should read the whole chapter. But chapter 3:16, they should also read the next verse, 17, where it talks about the light. People chose darkness over the light.
Right, right.
And this is a big problem nowadays that we go for the light. So,
yeah, there's much more things that are drawing people's attention away from the light.
The light.
Which is God and Christ.
Yes.
And then drawing their attention to things that will kind of take them even out of the presence of any kind of goodness at all.
A lot of distractions out
right.
there.
So it's... We're good. Getting bombarded, pretty much.
They look like good distractions, but
yeah.
they're distractions nonetheless.
Yeah. Fast from the thoughts of illness. Feast on the healing power of God. Fast from words that pollute. Feast on words that purify. Fast from discontent. Feast on gratitude.
So. Feast on gratitude. Isn't that wonderful? Most of these sounds like just making a better choice, right? Doing basically a retreat, to step back, because that's what retreat means. Retreat does not mean to give up. It means to step back, reassess, and see what's out there. And I myself need to do this every day. And you can ask Mariangela. She knows I love my books and I love my words. And what I try to do is do a simple word list, as Rocco was reading. Very simple. And do what Jesus did. CDS. Jesus was very clear. He was direct. And he was simple. Now, it sounds simple to do the yeah. things that we're sharing with you now. But they take a lot of courage and work. And the D word, discipline.
Yeah.
But... if you really look at it, the fruits of the discipline that we do when we fast from all the negativity is very abundant. So, Mary Angela, if you could share with us a few more.
We can fast from anger and feast on patience.
And boy, do we need a lot of patience, especially driving here.
Oh, yeah. There was accidents, yeah, left and right.
Yeah, we have to pray for the people that were in them, and hopefully nobody got hurt. But patience truly is a virtue.
Fast on pessimism and feast on optimism. Fast from worry and feast on divine providence. Fast from complaining and feast on appreciation. That one, I think, is related to fasting from discontent and feasting on gratitude, right? When we appreciate things,
yeah,
we are grateful.
But sometimes, you know, as you mentioned before, to be patient, sometimes we're just so much in a hurry, or we can be overstimulated, we can be overworked, and the worst one is to be stressed.
Yeah.
Not only are we stressed, we're overstressed, right?
I heard someone talk about being overstressed or overworked, and then when you become tired, you're kind of more susceptible to be really discouraged and then kind of get... I guess the devil really attack you and take you out of the way because you're so tired that you don't have the energy or the focus to really do anything. So you're kind of weakened at that point.
Yeah. And they call those, there's a lot of energy vampires that will zap you of your energy.
Yeah.
And it basically, when you are like that, your decision-making is not strong as we're talking here. You know, when we were asked to fast from certain things and feast on certain things, when we're not physically or mentally or spiritually strong, we fall into that trap.
Right.
And then guess what happens? We make a bad decision.
Yeah.
And it just goes and rolls and rolls. But the beauty is we always have the first choice to make Jesus number one. And we need to make the time. Just even the power of silence. Just recently, I was listening to Bishop Sahara from...
Cardinal,
yes. And he's very big on the power of silence. And as Rocco says, you know, in this busy world with traffic and noise and things that'll just drain you, he was big on shutting everything down. And not even just being quiet, but stillness in the silence, right? Because I think when we're silent, we can make better choices. And when we make better choices, you know, we don't fall into the trap of all these things that get us in trouble. Like if we drink too much or eat too much or gossip too much, you'll be fresh and alive and full of joy, even during the Lenten season.
Other ways of fasting and feasting, fast from negatives, feast on affirmatives. And this one I find interesting, fast from unrelenting pleasures and feast on unceasing prayer. So interesting, you know, why should we be fasting from our pleasures, right? But sometimes these pleasures are not good for us. Be it maybe we are so caught up in, for example, our social media and
how good we look
video
on Facebook.
Games and you know, it's too much of that kind of things that it's moving us away from time that we should spend with God and in prayer, right?
Yeah, it's true because in our Lenten journey, we're asked, the first thing we're asked, well, the main three are prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And the question I'd like to ask everyone and the listeners is, how is your prayer life? You know, just take a moment to think, is it strong? Is it weak? Am I praying the right prayers? I was asking, talking to a friend of mine, and he says, it's good to ask the Lord to ask what is it that you need in your life, right? Do we really ask? Are we clear? Because, you know, it's nice to pray for others, which I think most of us do, but it's not a bad thing to ask the Lord to give us strength, because when we're strong, we can do double for others. So always try to include the good prayer quality time, because it's not about the numbers in as much as the quality, like the quality time where you pray, what your request is. But I think a very powerful prayer is the prayer of silence, where we just listen. Maybe God is trying to tell us something. One of our favorite priests that we were on retreat a couple of weeks ago, he said to us, you know, here we are in life. We're searching for God, looking for God, searching and running and everywhere. And then he mentioned, well, God is not lost. He's the one looking for us. So we think we're looking for him, searching everywhere, but maybe we're running away. Or because we're running so fast, God can't catch us, even though he could at the snap of a finger. So that's why not only just silence, but also stillness. We'd like to share some of that silence with you, but not a good idea on the radio, because you might think no one is here. So
perhaps we can take a time.
We'll take a break. At this time, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll share with you a couple more things on fasting and feasting and prayers and quotes.
We've seen our share of ups and downs, or how quickly life can turn around in an instant. It feels so good to reunite within yourself and within your mind. Let's find peace there, 'cause when you are with me, I'm free, I'm careless, I believe. Above all the others, we'll fly. This brings tears to my eyes, my sacrifice. My sacrifice. I just want to say hello again.
You are listening to Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are. To contact us and be part of the show, please call 416-245-1534. We now continue with the program. Here once again are your hosts, Mary Angela Artuso and Nick Massa.
Dear friends, welcome back to our show. And we're also joined with Rocco, sharing with you our Lenten journey, a midway point, getting that much closer to Holy Week. So just to finish off our fasting and feasting, so we need to fast from discouragement, and this is my favorite, to feast on hope. We need to fast from thoughts that are weak and feast on promises that inspire. Fast from idle gossip and feast on purposeful silence. And as mentioned before, that God's voice is the voice of silence. We just need to stop and listen to it. At this present time, I'd like to ask both Mary Angela and Rocco. It's been 4 weeks since Lent has started. Can you share with us, how is your Lenten journey going? Good, bad, or maybe some surprises?
Not too bad, I would think. I've tried to take on something, actually. I've tried to increase time for prayer. I found myself during, especially at evening, for my evening prayers, that I would, instead of, turning everything off and praying, I would be, turning the TV on, listening to the news, just before going to sleep. But more recently, what I decided to do is just turn everything off and focus on prayer. And actually, I've downloaded an app called Laudate, and it combines a number of different resources, Catholic resources, and I'm finding myself turning to this. It includes daily readings, some saint quotes. It has the liturgy of the hour, daily prayers, even Bible verses, and also interesting little podcasts and things like that. So I'm finding myself turning to this instead of listening to the news, which is all negative and awful, right?
And yeah, fills up a lot of space.
Yeah. And turning to this as my moment of reflection and prayer. And I'm finding I'm getting a lot of a fruit out of it, actually.
That's very good. So Mary Angela has mentioned to take some, not just to fast from something, but feast on prayer, take something on. Rocco?
I think to add to that, I had a few things that I had set out initially, in my mind to say, okay, well, I'm going to read this book or get through this or spend X number of, minutes praying, et cetera, or make it to daily mass. And I kept to most of it. I think kind of what happens, and I think it's been my experience, is I've sometimes asked, well, what kind of Lent, in the prayer, I've asked, what kind of Lent do you want me to have? So I've asked God that in my prayer. Because I guess he would know more specifically, probably clearer than I do, what types of things or what types of changes he would like me to make or things that he wants me to see differently. So I kind of put that out there. And I think what happened is it just kind of naturally he showed me those things that were maybe probably different than what I expected. Probably more to do with personal patience, or not so much into doing things. For example, if I, for some reason, could not make it to a weekday mass, obviously Sunday mass is different, but, there will be times when maybe something else would have come up that, for example, would be visiting someone or helping someone do something, or, a situation that I had to exert more patience. I mean, there's a bunch of different, I can get probably into 100 different things, but I think probably the overall idea would be you can make a few suggestions to yourself and try and stick to them, especially if there's something that's kind of being impressed on your heart. But ultimately, I think ask God what types of things he wants you to see during Lent and what types of things he wants you to do. Or like you said before, it might just be spending that time quietly with him, you know, at the end of the day or whenever we have that moment, just to be quiet, you know, and to just experience his presence.
Yeah, because sometimes we need that time so he can peel back the layers. Because we can have so many layers that what God is trying to tell us can't be penetrated until we, as St. Francis did, he almost stripped right down when he says, I'm following the Lord and I didn't want to be a rich person. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be a humble servant of the Lord. So we do all these things for Lent because Jesus is at the center. Jesus came for us. He died for us so that when we die, we may too go to heaven. And that's what salvation is all about. He came here to save us. And so everything we do is for him. You know, we talk about, oh, I do this and we're doing that. But it's always with him at the center. I always think about people that may be not religious or some people who ask, why are you so religious? And why do you pray? And why is the church like this? And why do you? And I just wonder what Jesus is thinking. But I don't judge. You know, there will be naysayers. But at the same time, some of those people might be really reaching out, asking us indirectly. So it's always a good time to educate. And I always like to say, because he is the greatest example of love, patience, and courage, right? So whatever we go through in life, if we look to him, what he did for us, right? Especially on the way of the cross. Mm-hmm. And just realize the immense love, that how much we are loved. And that's what I want to tell people is, do you really know how much Jesus loves you? He died for us, right? And I guess all we can do is put it out there and just be a gentle reminder that everything we do is for him, right? And it's just thanking him. So I think if we take care of ourselves, physically, mentally, and spiritually, right, is, I guess, our gift back to him. So Lent, you know, is a time to retreat and refresh. I had a whole bunch of words I wanted to share with you. I'll share with you those words now, and then we can go back and deal with some of the things that we may be challenged with and some of the answers to it. But I like to call this segment the re-section. All these words start with the word R-E. So we're asked to repent. This is what we do on Ash Wednesday. So we repent and we turn away from sin. It's also a time to reflect. Rocco, what's another R-E word that we can do?
Recalibrate.
And recalibrate is very popular nowadays. Basically, it means to adjust or reset, especially in the electronic world that we live in. So it's a reset for us. Mariangela, what else can we do?
We can relax.
Whoa.
Can you imagine in this stressful world, relax?
Who has time to relax? I'm too busy. And Rocco, what does the Lord ask us to do?
Return to me, asked the Lord. There is still time.
Yes, there is still time. So when we do all these things, there's other powerful words that can happen during Lent is restoration. You know, to rebuild our spirit, our minds, and bodies. And not just us. We can help restore hope in others. Because there's a lot of people out there that are lonely and going through some issues. And Lent is a time, as Mariangela said, it's something to maybe not do, but there's also things that we can do more, like something we can take on. You know, we can rebuild our relationships with friends, mm-hmm. or that we've haven't been close to, or make rebuild relationships at work. Because if you think about it, we're at work more than we are with our family. So when we do these things to rebuild and make restoration our goal, we too become rejuvenated. Because in the end, it's about the resurrection. Because there is no resurrection if there is no cross. So sometimes we have to carry that cross. You know, Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you know, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, right? And he never promised us a rose garden, but he did promise us heaven, right?
So Lent, even better than...
even better.
Yeah.
So our Lenten journey starts in the desert and continues in the desert, where the desert Jesus went, he was tempted by the devil for, you know... power and prestige, but in the desert, that's where people used to go and still go for purification. And that's what this our Lenten journey is a purification of our bodies, our minds, and our spirit towards Jesus. But right now, we're going to talk about some of the challenges, further challenges, and what we can do about it.
One challenge can be a fear of failure. And an answer to this is you don't succeed without experiencing failure. Just make sure you trust in the Lord. So it's, you know, we shouldn't be afraid to make mistakes.
Yeah.
Right? Because we always learn from our mistakes. Another challenge is our comfort zone. And the answer is it's outside our comfort zone that new discoveries are made. So we should feel comfortable of stepping out, right? And going into the deep, as yes. as Nick always says, yeah,
go
tells,
out
tells
into
me.
The deep.
Yes. Not be afraid. Third challenge can be feelings of unworthiness. And an answer is you're fearfully and wonderfully made by God. So you are worthy because we are all children of God.
Children of the Most High God.
Impatience is another challenge. And we can solve that by knowing that God's timing is the perfect timing. So yeah. We just need to wait for whatever it is.
Wait. And a big thing is to surrender. You know, we just get caught up just trying to do so much, and we want it done yesterday. And when if you just sit down, like I had this last night, I just wanted to do so much, and I was overwhelmed. And this is another thing, how the evil one works is, you know, it makes you impatient, and, you know, like a snap of the finger, I want it done. But I says, no, I'm just going to sit back and start with a breath, a deep breath, right? And when we breathe deep, we can basically start to relax and be more patient. And when we're patient, it's amazing the things we can do, because our attitude starts to change. And then from being overwhelmed to being so joyful, in half an hour, I was able to accomplish so much that I didn't think I could do in 2 hours. But the whole point is trying to be patient.
Another challenge could be retirement. But as long as we are still breathing, we're here for a reason. You have a purpose to influence others for Christ. Comparison is another challenge, but realizing that we have our own unique contributions to make and there's no one else like us.
And we were just at a seminar recently, and they talked about how comparison is one of the greatest stealers of joy. Because when we're constantly comparing other people or comparing other situations to ourselves, then we start to be the big D word, delusional. And we start to lose perspective. Mm-hmm. Right? And we're bombarded. with TV ads and radio ads. And not just that, you could be driving. You got ads on buses telling us what to wear, how to look, and you won't be accepted.
Keeping up with all
the Joneses there.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing. And especially now, because we try to share with you joy throughout these programs, is be very careful about comparison.
Eight is guilt. Excuse me. I'm loved by Jesus and he's forgiven my sins. Today is a new day. So we need to, confess our sins, but then we need to kind of move on from that. We can't get stuck in feeling guilty all the time, or self-condemning, attitudes. We have to understand that we are forgiven, and then we make amends, and we, with his grace, move on and try to avoid those occasions. Overcommitment, do less better and accomplish more.
So as this statement, less is more.
Yeah, you can definitely try spread yourself thin, even if you think you're doing a lot of, good things, which is, I'm sure this, it's crossed a lot of people's minds. I can just do more. I can, do this or help this person. Sometimes you can spread yourself too thin or make commitments you can't keep. That's another one, I guess, that sometimes bothers me, if people, say, I'll do this or I'll do that. But if you know you can't make that commitment, then you shouldn't promise somebody even the simplest of the simplest things. Lack of counsel, take time to make wise decisions. So if you're contemplating something, then you need to be patient with it and you need to not rush. It also helps to have a lot of people you trust and then, have them pray for you as you pray yourself for these, for the, light, enlightenment or inspiration. Impurity, lives pure and without blemish. So we all know what areas we have to, clean certain things up and keep things tidy. It's like doing laundry. You don't leave it for a month.
It never gets done.
Right. And it just gets piled up and it's worse. Yeah.
And
it stinks.
Nothing to wear.
Right. So I think actually Padre Pio compared confession to that. He said, you do your laundry often, right? And if you don't go to confession often, it's the same thing with regards to your soul. You can't let things linger there for that long.
Yeah, it builds up.
Right. Entitlement. The world does not owe me anything. God does not owe me anything. I live in humility and grace. This is kind of interesting because I've actually thought about this during Lent. A few times where you feel like if there's situations or times when you've put out so much for other people and you kind of expect it back from them or from God. God will bless you in his own way and choosing, but he's not required to do that. And I'm saying that in the kind of gentlest kind of way, meaning God's not a vending machine where you put in X number of credits and then you're going to press H3 and get the O. Henry bar or whatever it is. No, it doesn't work like that. Other people might have different experiences, but I'm just saying personally, I don't believe it works that way. In particular, we do things out of love for him and out of love for other people, but never expecting that in return. That's truly what unselfish love is supposed to look like. Apathy. Life is too short. Every second is precious and sacred. That speaks for itself. We don't know how long we have on this planet. We don't know how long we have with each other and with our family and friends. We need to take advantage of each moment and make sure that it's all sacred. Exactly.
Keep it special, the times we're together.
Yeah, someone mentioned there were people that were dying and sick. A lot of them, the one thing they regretted was a lot of time wasted or time that they could have used for something else. Hatred. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's direct from Romans chapter 12, verse 21. So Paul is telling us to overcome evil with good.
So on that note, Rocco's saying don't be overcome by evil. It's also not to be overwhelmed. Right? Because the day is so busy that being overwhelmed can just like zap us of our energy. And, we live busy lives, but we also live full lives, trying to do so much good.
Mm-hmm.
But I put this out there is when you feel overwhelmed, try to think, maybe I'm just overjoyed. Right? It's an attitude. It's a shift, right? Basically, it's easier said than done. But the question is, why am I overwhelmed,
mm-hmm.
right? You're overwhelmed because you're working to be overjoyed. Or else then, why do what we do? It's very simple. And if you don't like being overwhelmed, take a retreat. Step back. And it all starts with a breath. Or even 5 minutes to get away. Or do like Jesus did. He would retreat into the mountains or the desert or the nature. And he would compose himself. Because he was human. So we'd like to wrap up the show. We're just going to share with you a couple quotes. We'll go to page 5. And I'd like to share with you some of the quotes. Rocco, can we share?
Yeah, actually, that one just stuck out at me.
Caught both of our eyes here.
It's from Venerable Archbishop Fulton Sheen. Unless there's a Good Friday in your life, there can be no Easter Sunday.
So true.
Lent is a time for self-denial. We would do well to ask ourselves what we can give up in order to help and enrich others by our own poverty. Let us not forget that real poverty hurts. No self-denial is real without this dimension of penance. I distrust a charity that costs nothing and does not hurt, as Pope Francis.
There are ways of being crucified that do not involve rough wood or heavy nails, but a love beyond our capacity to love, which means a love that has been given to us by God. That's by Catherine Doherty. And he said to all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
And that's a
Luke
tall order to follow.
Luke chapter 9, verse 23.
But if we always say, like we said, is we look back and see what Jesus did, you know, what we do is only like a sliver of wood compared to the heavy cross that he had to carry.
For sure.
So I'd like to remind everyone that Holy Week is very close. Go to your church. Get involved in some of the events. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of confessions going to be happening. So check out the time, the calendar, and maybe there's going to be some retreats at your parish because there's still a few weeks left. I know at our church we start on Holy Thursday, and you're welcome to join us for Mass at 7:30. And we're going to do an hour with Jesus at 9 o'clock on Holy Thursday night at All Saints. And it's about an hour. And I invite everyone to attend or attend your parish and be part of whatever activities and holy masses and services that are being offered at your parish. So before we close, I just would like to thank everyone that was listening, the staff, the engineers at the station, the listeners. God bless you all. And I'd like to thank Mariangela and Rocco. So
thanks, Nick. It's always a pleasure to be here with you and with you, Rocco, as well. And yeah, let's continue our Lenten journey.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Nick and Miranda, for having me sit in and for a lot of the great insights.
And I'd like to close with you two quotes. And thank you very much, you guys, for being part of this night. And we hope we were able to share to the listeners some quotes, stories, and prayers. And we pray for your Lenten journey, that you too will become closer to Christ. And I leave you with not just one, but two. I couldn't decide, so I said let's do both. So the first quote is from St. Teresa of Calcutta. She said, Lent is the time for greater love. Listen to Jesus. Thirst. He knows your weaknesses. He wants only your love. Wants only the chance to love you. And Venerable Bishop Fulton Sheen said, show me your hands. Do they have scars from giving? Show me your feet. Are they wounded in service? Show me your heart. Have you left a place for divine love? Thank you. Have a blessed Easter. And we will talk to you next month.
April 11th.
April 11th. Good night and God bless.
May the joy of Jesus be with you. May the joy of Jesus be with you. May you know the joy of Jesus. And may the joy of Jesus be with you. And may the joy of Jesus be with you. May the joy of Jesus be with you. May you know the joy of Jesus. And may the joy of Jesus be with you. May the joy of Jesus be with you.
You have been listening to Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mary Angela Artuso and Nick Massa.